Christ as the stone. See, we began from chapter 2, verse 4. You remember that from verse 4 onwards, it starts like this. Coming to him. So from verse 4 onwards, Apostle Peter, he began to explain about the privileges that we have in Christ. And in between, Apostle Peter spoke about the person of Christ. As a stone, the Lord Jesus Christ is living stone, death cut stone, seven things are there, rejected stone, horn of stone, precious stone, dash stone, and stumbling stone. Then he explained there itself, as he came to that living stone, what are the benefits, what are the blessings? Four things are there. We see new life, the Lord imparted life to us. Then he has placed us in the church. He has placed us in the church. Then thirdly, we have access to God as priest, holy priesthood. Then we also read there, we have honor. The Lord is precious to us. At the same time, the preciousness of Christ is reflected in a Christian's life. So we have the fourfold blessings here, Apostle Peter said in Acts verse 8. Now, in the end of verse 8, they stumbled, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. You who came to Christ, living stone, you got life, you are in a fellowship, in the church, part of the church, and you have access to God, you have a ministry to God, and you have honor. At the same time, there are certain people disobedient, disbelieving, they stumble at the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have their judgment is appointed. That's what we see in the end of verse 8. Then he says, But you are a chosen generation. But you. There are people who stumbled at the Lord Jesus Christ. Their judgment is appointed. God has decided, appointed it. Then you. So Peter continues with the privileges. Again, he goes on to explain what more privileges you have in Christ. Because you trust the Lord, because you have come to him, because you believe him, what more blessings you have, what more benefits you have. See, we see four things there, very clearly written there. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, then holy nation, his own special people. See, four things are there. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people. It's interesting to notice that, even from verse 4 itself, while explaining or elaborating the privileges we have in Christ, Peter is taking from the Old Testament. He is writing or he is quoting from the Old Testament. Whatever the Jewish people had in the past, he wants to say that now you are enjoying those blessings. Now, all these four things are, we see, promises God gave to whom? The people of Israel. Just see, for example, some verses there in Isaiah 43, verse 10. Isaiah 43. There we see that, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. So we can see that, the chosen generation. There are plenty of Bible verses in the Old Testament. God says, I have chosen you. That was a privilege given to the people of Israel. Then another verse in verse 20, end of 20, we read there, again, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So we see, we will come there again. So we see there, it was a promise God gave to the people of Israel. If you are obedient, you will be a holy nation. You will be a kingdom of priests. And you will be a special treasure, a peculiar treasure to me. Now Peter, quoting loosely, from there he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special. So all what God promised to Israel, church is enjoying. We know very well in the Old Testament itself, we read what happened because Israel, they saved. Remember that. God said, if you're obedient, Exodus 90, we'll go there again. But they were not obedient. They failed. Because they failed miserably, we understand the Bible says, God has suspended his dealings with the people of Israel. And we must remember, it is not forever. Today, God is gathering a group of people, church. All these blessings are given to them. But the Bible says in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul says, one day the church age will be completed. The age of the dispensation of grace will be over. Then once again, God in his mercy and kindness begin to deal with the people of Israel. We see in the Bible, in the book of Romans. So we understand that all these blessings, all these benefits, God promised to the people of Israel. Now we'll see one by one what are the promises, what are the blessings we have in Christ. First of all, chosen generation. We are, or you are, a chosen generation. See, when you read English, in English it is written generation, but actually it should be race. Race, you know, in Ken Darby's translation and Malayalam also will say that. You are a chosen generation. You remember that in 1 Peter 1:4 itself. Peter referred to that choice, God's election. We are elect one. God has chosen us. We have come to him, chapter 2 verse 4. That is true. But when we came to him, he has given us blessings, and now we come to understand that we have come to him in time, but God has decided it, God has selected us, God has chosen us in eternity past, before the foundation of the whole world, God has chosen us. Now that's a wonderful truth to remember, that humbles us, that says to us that we have nothing to boast. God in his sovereign grace has chosen us. So I'm not going into the details of election there, because we have already seen it. But here, that added word is there, you are a chosen race. Now what does it mean, chosen race? You are an elect race. See, when you come to Romans chapter 5, you know that in verse 12 and in many other verses, Apostle Paul speaks about two races. Let's see, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sin. Verse 17. If by the one man's offense, death reign through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace under the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. See, when you study those portions carefully, we have no time to go into the details. Apostle Paul says about two races, Adam and Christ. Two races are there. Under Adam, all of us are coming. The first man. But in Adam, all of us, sinners, thus reigned. One race, one generation. And who is the end of that person, that genealogy? The last Adam. Who is the last Adam? The Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world as the last Adam, taking all of us together. Died on the cross. He took all of us together. He died and then rose again as a second man. God has begun a new race. In Christ, a new creation. So we are a new race, a chosen generation, new group of people, new community, a particular community, a unique community. That's what Apostle Paul, sorry, Peter wants to tell them. We belong to him as a chosen race. See, here itself one expression is there, that last portion in verse 9 itself, he saw special people. Special people. Now what is the implication? You must understand, for all the privileges, there is an implication, practical implication is there. Apostle Peter says, you are a chosen generation. God in his sovereign mercy says, has chosen you, not because of your goodness. God has chosen you to be a unique race, a particular race, a unique generation. We are different. The implication is this. What is the implication? I believe it is we should maintain our distinctiveness. We should be happy when somebody will say, you are different. You are not one among us. Why don't you join with us? Why don't you celebrate with us? We are different. I am different. Because we belong to a new race. Chosen race. Not in the Adam, the old race. Died. Fed to the old fashions, old world, everything. New genealogy. New race. We need to maintain that distinctiveness. And the second thing is, we need to make no, we should not make any. There is only one race. In the Church of Christ, no two race, no three race. Whatever is our language, whatever is our color, whatever is our background, we are one. There is only one race. There should not be any discrimination in the church. In the church, we all of us are one race. You may be wondering why I'm going so fast and so staying so loudly. Because I have to consider the time, you know. I don't want to continue the study for many months or years. So I just want to take a particular portion and finish it. That's why I'm running fast. I have to finish it in my time. So Apostle Peter says, first privilege of a Christian, we are a special race. God has chosen us. And we need to maintain that distinctiveness. We should be happy to be different. And at the same time, in the church, there should not be any difference between different groups of people, whether we may talk different language, color may be different, background may be different. And the second, a royal priesthood. See in verse 5, Apostle Peter, we saw that verse there. He said about our priesthood, a royal priesthood, sorry, a holy priesthood. So twice he says about our priesthood. You are a priest. Again, it was promised to the people of Israel. We read there in Exodus 19. Once again, we have to see that. Because that's the key verse in 19 verse 5 and 6. The Lord says, you shall be, verse 6, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests means you shall be a kingdom of priests. That means God's original intention was everyone in Israel should be
a priest.
Everyone in Israel should be a priest. But we understand that the law did not choose, or the law did not give priesthood to everyone. Why? Okay, we'll go there later on. But we understand that God gave the priesthood to only Levites. Nobody else. Aaron and his sons, under Aaron, the leadership of Aaron and his sons, the Levites were supposed to minister. No one else can minister as a priest. We understand whenever somebody tried to take over that responsibility, God punished. Only the tribe of Levi could be the priest in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, we see in verse 5 as well as 9, you, the church, everyone together, all of us are priests. We, all of us have access to God. All of us can go to God and offer our sacrifices. Now, we read there, in that priesthood, the two aspects are there. Holy priesthood, that's what we see in verse 5, holy priesthood and royal priesthood. Now, what is the difference? You read verse 5, I believe the idea is there itself, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a holy priesthood. What is the idea there? You are priest in service to God. No question, no answer. You are in service to God. Let's read that verse in Exodus 28 verse 1. Very interesting verse. To the priest, Moses asked, the Lord says about the priest to Moses, he says there, verse 1, now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me. See again in the end of verse 3, that he may minister to me as priest. What is the primary work of a priest? Basic work, primary ministry of a priest. The Lord says, priest should minister to me. Minister to me. Come before me. Stand before me. Serve me. So in that aspect, I believe that's why Peter says, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we are a priesthood, all of us are priests, and we have twofold or two kinds of ministry. One is to go to God. That is the primary work. That is the most important work. Go to God, minister to Him, offer such sacrifices in which He will be pleased. Give Him, offer Him such sacrifices, such things in which He will be happy, He will be pleased. Please, the heart of God, that is the primary duty of a priest. Minister to me. So what he should do? Peter says, he should offer spiritual sacrifices. What are those spiritual sacrifices? We know it very well. I'm sure many of us know. So I have just given a list there. In Romans chapter 12, we read about a spiritual sacrifice. What is that? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Give our body to God, not as a dead sacrifice. Give us a living sacrifice, that I may walk, I may move, I may run, I may do things for God. My body will be useful for God. Offer our body as a spiritual sacrifice. Presenting our body to God is a sacrifice in which God will be pleased. And another one we see, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. Apostle Paul, comparing the love of Christ and his sacrifice to man, saying, sacrificial love for one another is a sacrifice. When we love one another, giving ourselves, it's a sacrifice to God. God will be pleased. And the third one we see in Hebrews 13:15, praise, exalting, glorifying him. Fourth one, you know, it can read it easily. Good works. That good works has to do with doing good. Not necessarily it should be a work. It may be even a word. A word which we know should be said in time as a good thing. Saying a good thing, that also could be a good deed. God is pleased when we do good thing. I understand that this is what I have to do. This is what I have to say. And I do it willingly, wholeheartedly. God is pleased. And then we read there, Hebrews 13:16 itself, sharing our resources, whatever we have, with others, for their benefit, for their enjoyment. God is pleased. God is happy. So in the New Testament, we have no need to sacrifice an animal. No need to bring an animal when we come to the church. But we need to give ourselves, our body, sacrificial love, praise, and good works, doing a right thing, sharing our resources. Romans 15:16, Apostle Paul even says that Gentiles, whom he has won for the Lord, are a sacrifice. When we win souls, converts, when we bring people to the Lord, God is pleased. It's a sacrifice. And then, in Revelation chapter 8, our praise, God accepts as a sweet-smelling savor, as a sacrifice. So these are the sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifice, we see in the New Testament, seven types of spiritual sacrifices we have to offer as holy priest. Now, which is the most important one? I don't know whether we can say like that, every sacrifice is important one, but I personally feel that quite often we neglect one area. Which area? The most important area. That is praise. We need to praise him. See, minister to me. Give satisfaction to God. Give pleasure to God. Give joy to the heart of God. How do we do that? Praise. Glorifying. Exalting him. Wow. Exalting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives pleasure to the heart of God. Glorify God through our praises. And to our lips, that's a sacrifice to God. Now, secondly, holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. And then he says that in 9, we are a royal priesthood. So our priesthood has two aspects, holy priesthood, royal priesthood. What is it in royal priesthood? See, in the Old Testament, any priest, in royal, we understand, it has a connection to king or palace, like that. In the Old Testament, we understand no priest could be a king. Priest will do the work of a priest. Whenever King Saul and Uzziah, they tried to take the work of a priest, God punished them. So in the Old Testament, they were not both kings and priests. They were different people. Priest was different. King was a different person. When New Testament Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ is king as well as priest, as Melchizedek, both king and priest. Similarly, Apostle Peter says, you also are royal priesthood. See, same verse, same idea we get from Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. We see Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. In the end of verse 6 we read, and for verse 6 itself, and have made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Okay, made us kings and priests. 5 verse 10 we read, I have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on the earth. We are called the royal priesthood. Why? Not only we are priests, we are... See, the idea may be priest serving the king, or priest who also got a job to rule. The Bible says they are going to rule, to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in future. But the idea there, just to summarize, Apostle Peter says, is a wonderful privilege. Even the Old Testament priests, they had no privilege. What is that? To be a royal priest. In the Old Testament, only Levites had the privilege. In the New Testament, every individual member in the church, priest, they can go to God at any time, offer spiritual sacrifices. And they are royal priests too. They are going to reign. They are going to rule with the Lord. I believe it speaks about our responsibility to people. So as a holy priesthood, we have a duty to the Lord to minister. As a royal priesthood, we have a duty to people. We have a responsibility to people. I'll go to the next one. Oh, there is something more. It is there. What is the practical implication of it? We are priests. So what? There are three things we need to understand. There are a lot of things. When you study years ago, I remember one dear brother, he took about priest year. I know that. I remember that. There are a lot of things to study in relation to priesthood. But just three things I think is important. Since we all of us are priests, you should remember these things. As priests, it's a wonderful privilege to be a priest. It's a blessed privilege. But same time, there are some practical things we should remember. What is that? Priesthood demands absolute obedience. Priesthood demands absolute obedience. I told you, know what is the reason why God separated Levites? We don't know. But we understand this much. Levi has no special goodness. Actually, Jacob had cursed them. We see in the book of Genesis. Even then, God separated Levites to minister to him. What is the reason? I don't know, but one thing I understand, that from Exodus 32, when the people of Israel, they went after idol worship, Moses called them, who is there for the Lord's side? Levites came. Then Moses said, kill everyone who worship idols. Levites, they were willing to even kill the brethren obeying the word of God. The book of Malachi, the Lord says, just read that in Malachi chapter 2, verse 4 onwards, the Lord says this about Levites. Malachi chapter 2, verse 4 onwards, read there, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue. Verse 5. My covenant was with him, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. You see, he was reverent to me. He was before my name. He feared me. Levi obeyed the word of God. As priests, it's our responsibility to obey God's word. Obey God's word. Whatever it may be the cost. Levites, they were willing to obey the words of God, word of God. Now the second thing we understand there, second thing we need to remember that, in the book of Exodus we read there, any personal pleasure, any effort for self-glory is prohibited there. When you read in Exodus 30 verse 37, the Lord says there, we shall read that also. Exodus 30 verse 37, Lord wants them, as they come to minister to Him, as they offer sacrifice. Exodus 30 verse 37, we read, but as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves, according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it, to smell it, he shall be cut off from it. You want to be read there? They were not supposed to do any kinds of ministry for themselves. Priests, they have a duty. Their primary duty is to please God, to minister to God. While doing that ministry, they should never intend anything for their personal pleasure. It happens. It happens today. Often, many a times, our preaching, our song, our message, many things that we do, quite often, it is for personal selfish intention. God says, I hate it. You should not do that. Personal glory or personal pleasure is prohibited. As priests, we should understand, we should examine, we should be careful. We have freedom to go to God at any time, but it should be for minister to God alone without any selfish desire or selfish intention. Now the third thing is, we understand from the Old Testament, the priests, they should work together under their high priest. There are only one high priest, Aaron, and his descendants, and all the other priests. When you see the tabernacle, all these Levites, they don't have the same work. They have different work. But they all should work together in unity under one high priest. We have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And under him, all of us should work together in unity. We don't have the same work. All of us have different work. So we should be willing to do that. We should work together. Now the third thing is holy nation. Peter says, the third privilege of a Christian, as we have come to see. Third, when we consider verse 9, already we have seen maybe three. You are a holy. You remember that verse? Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. There, you see the same word there. If you will obey, you will be a holy nation. A nation who will be characterized by holiness. Now, we should understand the difference, the meaning. What is holy means? Holy, you know that, I'm sure, you know it. That word, Greek, you know, hagios, it means to set apart. To separate. Because we understand that Israel as a nation, God's intention, the whole of Israel should be separated for Him. God separated them from the nation, from the Gentiles. God's plan is Israel as a whole will be separated for Him, set apart for Him. And they will live such a life which is pleasing to Him, according to His plan, His desire, His characteristics. But we understand Israel failed. Israel lost, Israel just forsook that distinct, you know, features. Just read one verse, Leviticus 10:10. There is an interesting verse there. The Lord commanded, Leviticus chapter 10 verse 10, the Lord had warned them, told them, 10:10 we read there, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and unclean. See, the Lord commanded them, there should be this difference. You should know what is clean, what is unclean. You should be separated from all these unclean things. You should know your God is holy. You also should be holy. You should be separated from God. That's why we are holy. You know about the, in the Old Testament temple, they had holy vessels. Why they are holy vessels? Those vessels are holy, not because that vessel has some moral quality. Because those vessels were separated for God. That vessel is separated from all the other things and separated, set apart for the purposes of God. In the same way, Jewish people. And they failed. And today the church, God has separated us. Because we have been separated us, we are called holy people. And not only God separated us, given us a position, holy people, and God is working out. The Spirit of God is doing something in our hearts, as we have been all earlier, imparting the holiness of Christ into our life. So whatever we are, holy in position, should be practical in our life. That will take place progressively as the days go by. God has begun a good work and He will complete it one day, Ephesians chapter 5. So we should be separated to God. And day by day, being more and more holy, dear unto the Lord. Live a holy life and a separated life unto God. What is the implication? Maintain. Simple, maintain separation. Oh, practical implication. Maintain separation. Again, if you visit that website, I have given there very detailed study on separation. Many pages, many headings, many chapters on separation. Read it. Very essential teaching for today. Because our present generation do not know in many things about biblical separation. So what shall we do? We need to maintain it. Separation is done. When we maintain our separate stand, separate condition, status, when we keep ourselves holy unto the Lord for His purpose, then alone God will use us. God will begin to help us. Now the fourth thing is, His own special people. Again, the same word we find there in the Old Testament, in the Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in those verses, in those references we see, to God, to the people of Israel, He said, you will be a peculiar treasure, my own possession. God's intention for Israel, they should be an inheritance. You understand, when you say inheritance or treasure, that speaks of purchasing something costly, paying a price. Peter said in chapter 1 verse 18, church, we have been purchased. The Lord has bought us with a price. We belong to Him. He has purchased us. We belong to Him and He belongs to us. So what shall you do? I'll take 2-3 minutes. What shall we do? What is the implication? In Ephesians chapter 1:14, we read that. The same idea. Purchase the possession. Church. What is the practical implication? One verse is there in chapter 43, book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1 onwards, God says to the people of Israel. Those interesting verses are there. Now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Verse 4, since you are precious in my sight, I have loved you. Fear not, I am with you. See, in those verses, The Lord says the practical implication or practical lesson. What is that? The Lord says, Apostle Peter says, you are a special people, his own special people. He has bought you. You belong to him. Fear not. No worry. These days you hear about in Bombay and in Maharashtra, many people, they commit suicide. Why? Worry, tension, anxiety. They don't know what to do. No place to go, nowhere to go. Nobody to help them. But for a Christian, we have a Lord. We belong to him. He belongs to us. So no worry, no tension. God says, you fear not. We don't need to worry nor fear. I need to live for him. And now in verse 10 he says, how shall we live for him? Through our life and words and deeds. What shall you do? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained. Because we belong to him. What shall we do? What shall we do? No worry. I belong to him. I belong to him. It is his joy. He will take care of me. My concern is his concern. Then he belongs to me. So what is my job? Proclaim his excellences. Proclaim the idea. The idea there is publish, advertise. That which is unknown to the people. Let everybody know who our Lord is, who my Lord is, whom I belong, who belongs to me. And what shall I say? Three things are there. He says, he has translated us from darkness to marvelous light. If we have to publish the transforming power of God, we have to publish the light of God, and we have to say we were not a people, whether Jewish people or Gentile, we were not a people. We are people of God today. God's love for the unlovable people. And we need to publish that God's mercy. We have no mercy, so we have received mercy. May God help us. That we may consider these to be dates. We are a chosen race, a unique community. Be happy about it. Praise God for that. Be proud of it. Then we are a royal priesthood serving God and man. We are a holy nation separated to God for himself. And we are his own treasure. We are precious to God. Love him, live for him, and proclaim. He's like, can I go up last?